And Jehoshaphat represented the righteousness of God. He represented the seed that's on the earth. And notice the things that came up against Jehoshaphat. Ammon and Moab, they were the result of the incestuous relationship that Lot's daughters had with him after they came out of Sodom and Gomorrah. You see, that was a sign or some type of a confrontation of the righteousness of Lot, because even though they were delivered from Sodom, the thought processes, the attitudes, the way of living of Sodom was still in them. And so it was the result of what was. And it created a circumstance of Moab and Ammon who opposed the righteousness of God. And so we see now that this was a battle of what was over what shall be. See, the enemy will always use your sin. He will always use that which was in your past to try to confront with what God is wanting to do in your life. And they came up against Jehoshaphat. And we found out in verse 15, that the word of the Lord declared that to Jehoshaphat, he said, listen, this battle isn't yours. He said, this battle belongs to me. Don't be intimidated by these forces. And you know, many times when we find out that we have lack in our life, or we have sickness that comes, or we have betrayal or marital strife or whatever it might be, we feel like somehow we have to overcome it. We have to fight and be strong against it. But the Lord's saying, listen, I don't want you to have to do it. This battle belongs to me. He goes on in that same chapter, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, in verse 17, he said, this battle is going to be mine. But what I want you to do is I want you to believe in God and you will be established. He said, believe in my prophets and you shall also prosper. So what he was telling Jehoshaphat is that if you will believe God and what's written, then you are going to win in this battle. And so when they went out to battle the next morning, he said, I want you to send Judah first. And the first response of a believer when we are up against a struggle, when we are battling something, is that we send Judah first, or we send our praise first, or we send our celebration of what is written first. We fill our mouth with what God said and not what we're seeing, because what we're seeing is often the opposite of what God said. So he wants us to fill our mouth with what he said, because I believe that praise is an indication that one's soul is in submission to the Spirit of God. Now, what do I mean by that? You see, you are a spirit, and you possess a soul, and you live in a body. Now notice this. You're a spirit that possesses a soul. Your soul is not meant to possess you. So praise, celebration of what is written, is an indication that that individual has submitted their soul to the word of the living God. Because as it comes out of your mouth, your spirit is leading in the battle. Your spirit is declaring what God has said. See, Habakkuk chapter 2 and 4 is a very simple verse that we've heard before, but it says, the just shall live by his faith. So we know that faith is coming in agreement with what God said. So if I'm going to praise God in a situation, then I'm going to have to say what God said in spite of what my soul is feeling, in spite of what my emotions are saying. See, to praise God in the midst of a battle is not necessarily to deny the reality of the natural. I'm not suggesting that you say, I'm not sick when you're throwing up. I'm not suggesting for you to not acknowledge the fact that you don't have money when you got the shutoff notice. That's a reality. But I'm saying in the midst of the shutoff notice, or in the midst of your body feeling attacked, I must revert to what I know is the truth. And I must send Judah first. I must send the praise first, or celebration of what God has said. I am going to fill my mouth with his word. Why? Because it's faith. It is how I live my life. Now, why is that important? Look at Jeremiah 15. Church, I want you to see this today. I want you to get this. This is something that's taken me 34 years to learn. I'm still learning it. But I tell you what, it's becoming more familiar to me. It's becoming my second nature, if you will. It is becoming the way that I live my life. But it's taken me 34 years. You may be here serving God 40 years and still haven't got it. Maybe you've only been serving God for 40 minutes. I don't know. But I'm telling you, if you can learn this principle, you will find victory in your life in every sphere of life. Jeremiah 15 says, your words were found, and I ate them. I ate them, and your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. He said, your words were in my mouth. I took your word and I put it in my mouth. The only place that it can get in you is through your mouth. It's sort of like the natural food. You look at that piece of, well, let's say it's an apple. You look at that piece of apple, and the only way you can get it in you is to put it in your mouth. And I take that word, and I put it in my mouth, and I begin to celebrate it by my faith. I'm going to live by my faith. And so when I do that, I chew it up. I chew it up. And then I swallow it. And the word says that when I do that, it causes my heart to rejoice. It's like this. My soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. See, I'm convinced there are only two kinds of people in the body of Christ today. There are those that are excited, and there are those that are depressed. I've done this long enough to know that there are a lot of Christians who go around with a spirit of heaviness upon them. They have no joy. They have no excitement. And the reason for that is because the enemy knows that if we do not subject our soul to our spirit, our soul will determine, will create a condition called depression, stagnation. Have you ever met anybody? You know, 10 years ago, they were serving God, and you had conversation with them, and we've talked, and, you know, they're always talking about, well, I'm telling you, pray for me, brother, you know, the devil's after me, and we're going through trouble, and you don't know what it's like, and, boy, my husband this, my wife that, and blah, 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 blah. You meet them 10 years later, right? Haven't talked in 10 years, and you say, hey, how you doing? How's it going? Oh, man, pray for me, my husband this, and my wife that, and my, have you ever met anybody like that? They have stayed stagnant in their faith. And the reason why they stayed stagnant in their faith is because their soul is Lord. Their soul has not been subjected to the Spirit. Because the only thing that excites the Spirit is the Word. The only thing that moves the soul is circumstances. That's why the psalmist said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Now, the word bless means to speak well of. So, speak well of the Lord, my soul. Speak well of the Lord, my soul, and all that is within me, speak well of the Lord. The second part of that, we said, for he has done great things. But I'm going to change that. I'm going to say, he has written great things. My God has written great things. He has written great things. So speak well of the Lord. Oh, speak well of the Lord, my soul. You see what I'm saying? Speak well of the Lord, my soul. But here's what the problem is. When our spirit is not rejoicing, when our spirit hasn't been excited by the word of God, we almost resent people that give us scriptures. It's like, I already know that. Don't tell me that. It doesn't make any difference. You know, If you're soulically moved, you could be in a church service, and then we could kick up the band, and everybody's like, help, 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 help. Woo, J-E-S-U-S, ah, J-E-S-U-S, ah. We could jump, we could shout. Man, we're starting to feel good. As soon as the service is over, we're like, wow, man, that was a great service. Man, that was an anointing. See, we don't even know what the anointing is, but we think that was the anointing. But by the time we get to the car, your husband reaches over and says, man, that was a long sermon. All that crazy jumping around. And then he's going to say, you know what? I like what that preacher said, but we still got the shutoff notice. What you going to do with this, honey? How are you going to pay that? By your faith? See, circumstances always want to remind you that they possess you instead of you possessing your soul. I am a spirit possessing a soul and living in a body. So this is real important to remember, that your soul will not possess you. You and I need to be joyful in order to be successful. Until you get excited, you'll never excel. We used to sing a song when I first got saved. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. You gotta get all excited. Remember that song? Anybody ever sing that? Yeah. And you know, a lot of the old fuddy-duddies in church would be sitting like, oh, what's that to be excited about? You know, and we've always looked at our excitement coming from our soul. If everything is going well, we got a raise, we got unexpected money, we got a new car, we got a new outfit, somebody blessed us for our birthday, we're all excited! Woohoo! Yeah! Woohoo! But watch, you don't get anything for your birthday. You get fired. The doctor says, you are sick. Your family doesn't like you anymore. And it's like, oh, God, where are you? I'm so depressed. Now, I used to have a teacher named Mrs. Clark. I'm sure she's already deceased, so I can talk about her. She was my fifth grade teacher. I know she's deceased. That's a long time ago. But she would emphasize something. Because the Bible says that the ministry of Jesus is to free a person who's captive, is to open prison doors to those that are in prison. Remember Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 3? He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is what? Upon me. Let's read it. What for? He said, to preach good tidings to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those that are bound. That sounds like a victorious soul, a soul that has been delivered. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to do these things. In other words, these things don't happen without the Spirit of the Lord. So I must find the formula to get my spirit to rejoice. Because when my spirit is rejoicing, I now, according to Jeremiah 15, have the empowerment to succeed. Go on in that verse. He said, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Go back. Then the next verse, verse 3. There it is. To console those who mourn in Zion. Console those who are in sorrow, those who are living in loss, those who are feeling as though they don't have what they need. To give them beauty for ashes. When everything else has been annihilated, God offers beauty. Then he says this, for the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the what? Mrs. Clark. two disciplinary actions that she would take in classroom. If you talked and got caught, she'd call you up to the front of the class. You put your palms out, she'd take her ruler, and she would beat them until they were red. Now, she'd be arrested today. The second thing she would do is she would put you in a corner facing the class, and she would say, reach out your hand. And she'd get the dictionary, and she'd put it in your hands. And she'd say, hold it and don't let your hands down. Now, you know, I'm like a macho man, you know. Put that in my hand. No big deal. Look at all my buddies in the class. After 10 minutes, there's a spirit of heaviness that gets on that dictionary. What I held so easily suddenly becomes weighty. And she'd say, get that dictionary up, get that dictionary. And my hands would start trembling. And God said this. He said, a spirit of heaviness is impacted by a garment of praise. Now, I don't wear suits that often. But the other day, I did a funeral. I was in a black suit with a crisp white shirt with a black and gray striped tie, shined up shoes. I came out of my bedroom, looked in the mirror, and went, whoa, man. And when I went to the funeral, people in the church on the west, they're like, Pastor, you look good in a suit, man. You ought to wear that more often. I said, nah, I ain't gonna wear that more often. In other words, my appearance affected them. When you and I put on a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness, when we've been wearing a spirit of heaviness and we put on a garment of praise, it's like we take on a different appearance. People start looking at us like, what happened to you? I mean, you get a swagger in your walk. You get, you know, you just get that bounce in your talk. You get that little glimmer in your eye. You just start feeling like you're somebody. God said, put on the garment of praise. You know, that's what the anointing is all about. Isaiah chapter 10, he said, I want you to break yokes and I want you to lift burdens. See, I believe today the large percentage of the church is living under burdens. We're just carrying burdens, and we want everybody to help us. Pray for me. Help me lift this burden. Somebody help me. And he said, the garment of praise is for a spirit of heaviness. And so you and I have to tap in to the ministry of Jesus, because only the excited excel, and the depressed are always victims of circumstances. I want you to look at Acts chapter 20 with me. Did you know Paul the apostle refused to be a victim of his circumstances? Absolutely. Everybody's telling him that he's going to go to Jerusalem and he's going to be bound there. He's going to be afflicted there. He's going to be put in prison there. Don't go to Jerusalem. Dude, if you go there, it's going to be bad. Not knowing the things that will happen to me there. Next verse in verse 23 and then to verse 24. Except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. Now, see, Paul's already been told that chains and tribulations await him. He's going to be bound if he goes to Jerusalem. Now, that would be enough to depress anybody. But then read with me what he says next. Ready? Read. But none of these things move me. Now, let me just stop right there. A person whose spirit is rejoicing, none of the circumstantial things in life move them. Now, when I first met my wife, I didn't care where we were. If I felt so moved, I'd ask for a kiss. But then as I got a little more mature and got into the ministry, I was more concerned about what people would think if they saw the pastor kissing the pastor's wife. So I would say, honey, not here. We're in public. No public display of affection. All right, quick, come here. Now kiss her on the cheek real quick. Because I was moved more by what others would think. There's a picture of me in the West of cutting the grass. This is a long time ago. I don't cut grass anymore. But a long time ago, cutting the grass in front of the church. And I had my suit on. Except for my coat, I should say. I had my tie, my white shirt, my dress pants, and my preaching shoes cutting the grass. Because I didn't want people to think I wasn't the pastor. So I was moved by what they thought. See, I haven't preached in shorts yet on a Sunday morning. I've been thinking about it on Wednesday night, but I haven't done it yet. But the reason why I haven't done it yet is because I don't want anybody to lust. No, that's not the case. That's not the case. That wouldn't happen. But Paul said this. Say it with me. Ready? Read. But none of these things move me. In other words, it didn't matter what the electric company said in the shutoff notice. It didn't matter how much month was left at the end of the money. It didn't matter what the doctor indicated about my health. None of these things move me. I won't allow them to move me. I will be of the tribe of Judah. I will celebrate what has been written in the Word of God, and that will go first. Why? Go back to Jeremiah 15, 16. Your words were found and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 to 19. He says, listen, I know there's no olives in the tree. There's nothing happening there. There is no fruit in the vine. There's nothing that apparently is going to give me any kind of hope. No cattle in the stall. Yet will I. Circumstances don't indicate that I'm going to make it. Yet will I. Friends betray me. Yet will I. Husband be cantankerous. Yet will I. Money be too short, yet will I. Sickness come in my body, yet will I. I refuse to be conformed to a circumstance around me. You see, you've got to understand, I'm of the Lion of the tribe of Judah. There's something different about us. That's why Job said, it doesn't matter, boils all over my body and house is gone, children gone, money gone, camels gone. And my wife said, why don't you just? And I say, hey, though he slay me, yet will I. Come on, lift your hand up. Say, yet will I. Come on, say it again. Yet will I. Come on, in the midst of your darkest hour, the midst of your saddest moment, in the midst of your lack and your hurt and your pain and your sorrow and your physical calamity, yet will I bless the Lord. Yet will I speak well of God. Yet will I. Come on, look at somebody and say, yet will I. You see, sometimes in those situations, you got to get your body and your mind and your will into subjection. Because it thinks it's in charge. My emotions think it rules. My mind thinks it can make decisions for me. It thinks it can possess me. I'm a spirit created in the very image of God. God is a spirit. And his words are spirit and life. John 6:63. Therefore, his word is like food to my spirit. When I ate his word, it became like rejoicing in my spirit. It became joy in my spirit. Let me tell you something. When you put the word first, it causes your spirit to get aroused. You start getting excited in your spirit, and your soul come up there and say, hey, what about the bill? What about the pain? What about your wife? What about your kids? And your soul try to take dominance. Now, this is where I believe the church has missed it. We have taught on praise out of the Hebrew words in the Old Testament, and we have said that's praise. That's not praise. That is a method to begin to operate in order to submit your soul to praise. Praise is a celebration of what? What God has written. Therefore, I can fill my mouth with his word. And when my soul begins to tell me that we're not going to make it, that you're going to starve, that you're going to die prematurely, that your wife's going to leave you for another man, that you'll be single the rest of your life, that you'll never make it, it doesn't matter what he says. Your soul will try to bring evidence that cannot be refuted. So the person who understands praise understands the techniques required in order to overcome the soul's attempt to dominate in your life. Here's the first one. Everybody say, halal. Halal. Sometime when my soul is attempting to dominate my spirit, I have to halal it. To make a loud, clear sound of praise. Perhaps you didn't hear me, soul. Perhaps, bless the Lord, oh my soul. In other words, the psalmist said, speak well of the Lord, oh my soul. I'm telling you, soul, you've got to speak well of the Lord. Don't you start talking about my Jesus. Don't you start imposing thoughts to me about the circumstances. That ain't my God. That's a religious God, but that ain't my God. It doesn't matter. Yet will I praise him. Don't you be talking about my Jesus like that, because I might just come back there and slap you. The original Hebrew also carried the meaning of being clamorously foolish, to rave or to celebrate. Sometime you got to put your soul into subjection. Your soul says, I ain't blessing him. Yes, you are. Watch this. Hey, Jesus! Y'all, I believe you, Jesus, with a loud voice. He's my God. He's my Savior. I don't care what anybody else thinks. And we've defined that as praise when it really is a tool to subject your soul. Secondly, if that doesn't work, you yada your soul. Or toda comes from the Greek word or from the Hebrew word hand. It's expressions of worship that involve the use of the hands to hold out one's hands, to give thanks or revere with extended hands. And so I say, God, I thank you. I walk around the house, I say, thank you, Jesus. I know that I've been young and been old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor is seed begging bread. What am I doing? I'm telling my soul, you better get in line with what I'm declaring. I am stretching forth my hand with thanksgiving, believing that God is already doing it. If that doesn't work, I'll get clamorously foolish on you here in a minute, but I'm going to tell you right now, I possess you. You do not possess me. I said, well, I don't know if that's going to work. Well, then you need to barak it. You got to barak your soul. Bow. Get on your knees. Begin to thank God. If I have to walk around the whole house, walking through the living room, thank you, Jesus. I thank you, God, that I'm in reverence and subjection to you. I don't care what the doctor just said, God. I believe your word. I won't let your word depart out of my mouth. I will give you a sacrifice of praise, and I will offer unto you thanksgiving, oh God, an act of reverence, and I will kneel before you. If that doesn't work, You go into the cabinet and you open up the cabinet and you get a bottle of tequila out. I didn't say tequila. I said tequila. You take off the cork and you begin to take a swig of that tequila. What does it mean, tequila? The Lord, coming from the verb halal, which means to praise, celebrate, and laud. It means to sing or laud God's praises with a hymn or a song of praise. And it also means this. You make up a song. Did you ever see drunk people sing? They're like singing words. That, man, them words don't go with that song. I don't care, but I like them words. And that's what it is. It's coming up with the words. It's coming up. Jesus, lover of my soul. Jesus, you're my main man. Say, that's not in that song, but it's in my song. I want you to know that right now. It's in my song. He's my main man. Squeeze me, Jesus. Hold me tight. Oh, look at them. They're tehealing. Tehealing. Tehealing God. Or zamar. It's the root Hebrew meaning of touching the strings or parts of a musical instrument. You know what my grandchildren love to do? They love to make praise songs. They like to get them little tambourines and the little wood things that go click, 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 and the little bell things. I think every family ought to have one, because sometimes when you have to put your soul into subjection, you may just have to have a parade. Right in the middle of your living room, push the coffee table aside, get the couch off over there on the other end, and clear the place of all knickknacks and breakables, and say, get your tambourine out, honey. We're going to begin celebrating the Lord, because our soul needs to be subject to the Spirit. These are all systems of dominating one's soul. They're not praise. They're a form of dominating one's soul. They all deal with the emotions. They all deal with the physical. They all deal with the will of a man. Shekah means to stoop or prostrate oneself, to laying flat on the floor. Or if it doesn't work and you have to pull out the last one, you just shabak it. Just shabak my soul. It's an expression of worship. It means literally to address in a loud tone. Now, this one here in the summertime, you're going to have to put the windows down because your neighbors are going to think you're just a little kooky. So you just got to lift up your voice. And you begin to praise him loudly. You see, sometimes you have to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's what Peter said in chapter 1 in verse 8. He said it's a joy unspeakable. And it's full of glory. Why? Why do we need joy? Joy comes as a result of ingesting the Word of God, putting the Word in our mouth. It comes as a result. Our spirit begins to rejoice. Why do we need joy? If you look at it, church, look at it, Isaiah. Look at it, Isaiah 12:3. Therefore, with what? Joy. Say, joy is my bucket. It's my bucket. Joy. With joy, you draw water from the wells of salvation. Now, why wouldn't the word say, with a bucket, you draw from the waters of the well of your salvation? Because joy is your bucket. When I have rejoicing in my heart as a result of celebration of what is written, I draw from the wells of soteria. I can draw from the wells of soteria. Soteria means salvation. It means my deliverance. It means my healing. It means my prosperity. It means my peace. It means my wholeness. It is joy, which is my bucket, that draws from the well of my soteria. Without joy, you don't have a bucket. We are a peculiar people in this earth. It's like, man, don't you know what's going on in your life? And you're over here, like, excited? You know why? Because praise always sees the future. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Therefore, they're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. And sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Even while he was hanging on the cross, the joy, the celebration of the written word caused him to see the future. Without that, your soul will always keep you focused on your present. That's what depression is all about, stagnation. Your life's not going to change. Nothing's ever going to be different. You're always going to be defeated. Your life is going to be a mess. Your husband will always be this way. Your finances will always be lacking. That's depression. But joy says, no, I see something beyond where I'm at presently. I see beyond my now. See, depression clouds your vision of what lies ahead. Joy energizes your inner man and raises your level of excitement. Let me tell you something. When you're excited, when you're aroused, you don't really care who's around. But the sad to say, Christians get more excited about temporal things than they do the written word. $322 million for the lotto. Did anybody win it yet? Or is it still up for grabs? Somebody got it? I was going to go get me a ticket right after church. We get more excited about the potentials of winning $322 million that we'll stand in a line and we get excited and we get sweaty palms wondering if that's the number, if that's going to be the number. And then we have to watch the news to see if those numbers are our numbers, because if they are, I'm going to be rich. I'm going to be rich. I'm going to be one rich man. And yet your chances are 1 in 175 million. And we don't get excited unless we get a new car, or we get a new outfit, or we get a new house, or we get a new girlfriend, or we get a new boyfriend. That's when our excitement level comes. But God says, no. He said, your spirit can be excited with my word. When your spirit begins to rejoice, something happens in your life. Let me tell you what happens. In physics, the word excite means to increase the energy of. In the Latin of which the word originates, excite, it means this: to set in motion. I love that. When your spirit gets excited, it sets things in motion. What excites your spirit? The word. How does the word get into your spirit? Through your mouth. Through your praise. And when you praise him and celebrate what is written, your spirit gets excited. And in the original Latin derivative of that word excite, it means to set in motion. That's why I've met people 20 years ago and they're the same today as they've always been. Because they don't get excited. Nothing's set in motion, church. You could tell you're having motion when you're seeing victories. I had one this week. I was on the phone with somebody. And we were talking specific ministry assignments and application. It was a subordinate. And I had sent instructions previously in a voicemail. Now they were calling me to ask me the very thing that I'd already told them what to do. And I was busy. And my initial thought was what has always been my thought. Did you listen to the voicemail? But my spirit has been excited all week. And recently, I'm getting excited about everything. Because the word just got me going. And in that moment, when I would have corrected them, I felt it come up like toothpaste coming out of the top of the squeezing of that little toothpaste tube. And I stopped it right before it came out. And the Holy Spirit said, by you saying that will profit nothing to him or to you. And it almost came out. I went, and I stopped. He didn't even hear my And I put it back down. Put the cap on the tube. And I listened to them with patience. I celebrated their ideas. I said, that's awesome. I'm so excited about what God is doing. This is great. Thank you for calling me. I hung up and I went, that was not me. That was not me. I would never have done that. I would have, how did I do that? How did I get here? Because my spirit's been excited and roused by the word. And I went beyond a place where I had been stuck. Some of us are stuck in anger. Some of us are stuck in bitterness. Some of us are stuck in resentment. Some of us are stuck in entitlement. And until you get excited by the word of God in your spirit, you'll never move beyond your stagnation. Physiologically, it means this: to produce increased activity or response, or to stimulate. Increased activity. So when my spirit is excited, it increases its activity. When it's aroused, it increases its activity. When it sets things in motion. My spirit is connected to God's spirit. We are co-creators with God. My spirit saying amen to his will. But until it gets aroused, it lies dormant. And my soul dominates my life. That's why, church, I've been doing this for so long. I've been so excited about Jesus. I can get up here and be excited and sweat and spit and jump and shout and say jokes. And you can laugh and we can have a great time. And hallelujah. And so many of the church stay the same. Because my excitement doesn't move you. You got to get your own excitement. Men, you need to learn this with your woman. Your arousal is not hers. Just chew on that a little bit. So we come up and get prayer. We say, Pastor, I need prayer, Lay your hands on me. I know you just love Jesus so much. I know you're excited for God. Just pray for me. You can't have my excitement. You can't have my emotion. You can't have my activity that's happening in the spirit realm. You can't have it. I wish I could give it to you, but you got to get your own. You have to stir yourself up in the spirit of God. And this is what happens to Christians. I've seen it so many times. Solically, the circumstances become so big. What do? They stop reading the word. The source of excitement, the source of joy, they stop reading it, they stop going to church, they stop praying, they stop having fellowship, and suddenly the soul is dominating. It's like this giant walking through their life and telling them what to do and how to live and how to be depressed and how not to have faith for the future. And we live under that dominance. And then when we come to church and we see somebody excited, it's like, you make me mad. Can't we all be depressed together? I hate going to that church. So stinking excited. It's hard being around somebody that's not depressed when you're depressed. You like depressed people because you're comfortable with depression. I've watched Wheel of Fortune with my mother when she was alive. This is 20 years ago. Every Monday night when we went to visit her, we visit her on Monday night every week. 7 o'clock, Wheel of Fortune comes on. My mom had to watch Wheel of Fortune. Wheel of Fortune! And Van is still up there flipping those numbers, you know. And these people would win $25,000, which is a lot of money. And they would get so excited. And I used to watch how the family would run out with them. And there were different levels of excitement. The one who won the money is like really excited. The ones that are the family members, varying degrees of excitement based on the expectation of getting some of that money. And you ever see them like they're jumping around, ha, ha, oh, and there's like a few of them going, Because they know they're not getting a thing. But that's not the way it is in Jesus. I'm telling you right now, if you will learn how to praise him first, sometimes with tears, sometimes with a broken heart, sometimes behind prison bars. Oh, prison bars. Paul, was it him again? None of these things move me. He's in prison. It's midnight. Who's he with? Silas. He said, hey, Si, you got a song in your heart? He said, I sure do. My soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he who is hath done great things. Paul said, that's right, that's right. Come on, boy, come on. That's right, that's right. Paul started to chime in. Before you know it, they're going, my soul doth magnify the Lord. My soul. They were clinging the chains, clang, 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 to the beat of the music. I know this is silly, but I can see the little rats up on their back feet going, yay, yay, yay. And what happened? The place had an earthquake. He had reason to be depressed. Can you imagine being in a Roman jail? I don't need to describe it to you, but that would be depressing. But you can't depress an aroused man with circumstances. So, church, I'm just asking us this morning, oh, Lord, to get to a place where you say, none of these things move me. Can I give you one last scripture? Zechariah chapter 10, verse 4. From him comes the cornerstone. From him the tent peg. From him the battle bow. From him every ruler together. They shall be like mighty men. Talking about you. Who tread down their enemies. Talking about you. In the mire of the streets in the battle they shall fight because the Lord is with them. Why? Because he inhabits the praises of his people. He's talking about you. The riders on the horses will be put to shame, and I will strengthen the house of Judah. Father, I pray for strength in the house of Judah. Raise up the house of Judah again. Raise up the house of Judah. Let the roar come back to Judah. Bring them back. Bring them back. Save the house of Joseph, because you said you'll have mercy on them. They shall be as though I had not cast them aside, for I am the Lord their God, and I will hear them. I will hear them. I will hear them. All we've got to do is put it in our mouth, and he said he will hear us. Church, I know that God is a good God. Amen. He is a good God all the time. So I refuse to allow my circumstances to dominate my existence. I am a Christian. I am a blood-bought, Holy Ghost-led, Bible-toting, devil-stomping, excited Christian. Everywhere I go, people want to know. I just pray today that you'll get yourself excited in Jesus. As much as I wish I could throw some of it on you, I can't. I've had to learn the hard way. I've had to excite myself. And if I had time and brought Tina up here, she would tell you that most of my life I have suffered from depression. So I know what I'm talking about. Most of my ministry, I was an unhappy pastor. Is that you? Until I learned the secret. And she would testify that depression has lost its hold on me. And it can lose its hold on you. Yes, it can. Now, you may not walk around all the time giggling, smiling, laughing. But on the inside, you know that now is not going to be then. For the joy set before him, he endured. And I know there are some people in here who are enduring some stuff. And I'm not minimizing, and I'm not telling you not to even acknowledge it. It's okay because it's real. But it doesn't lead you, and it's not dominating you. So with me, put your stuff aside. Just lift your hands up to Jesus. Say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Can you do it again? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. I'm going to sing my verse to it. It says this, speak well of the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, speak well of the Lord, oh my soul. You got it now? Let's say it, that part. Ready? Speak well of the Lord, oh my soul, and all within me. Come on, bless him. Oh, speak well of the Lord. Oh, my soul. Let's get on our feet and sing it one more time. Speak well of the Lord. Oh, my soul. And all that is within me, speak well. I think you're getting it. One last time, come on, lift your voice. Speak well of the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Speak well of the Lord, oh my soul. Watch this part. To take your Bible and hold it up. He has written great things. Oh, they're so great, God. Yes, he has. Oh, he has written great things. Speak well of the Lord. Oh, my soul. One last time. For he has written. All about you and all about me. He has written great things. Oh, he has written great things. Speak well of the Lord, oh my soul. One last time. Speak well of the Lord. Speak well of the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Speak well of the Lord, oh my soul. So, Father, this morning as we prepare to leave this room, we are asking that the Holy Spirit indelibly mark on our hearts the anthem of our lives, that we will speak well of the Lord. Church, that's why Paul was able to say in Romans, what shall separate me from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No way. Shall peril? Sword? Nakedness? Famine? No. But in all these things, we are more than conquerors. He got something. He must have thought, none of these things move me. And I can hear Paul and Silas now. On our way out, you can sing it. Simply saying, speak well of the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Come on, let's get excited for Jesus. Live for Him all the days of our life. And let's take the ministry of Jesus out of Isaiah 61, 1 to 3, to a generation that's under a heavy spirit called depression. With your head bowed this morning, you say, Pastor, you know, if I were to die today, I don't know what I would do or where I would go. You know, there are some people that believe that if you die, you come back as a rat or a cow. And they live and frame their whole life around that belief. There are some people that believe that you go into annihilation and nothingness, and frame their whole world about that truth. There are some that don't believe in a hell, some that don't believe in a heaven. And they're not really sure what happens. But the Bible says today that these three things were written that you may know that you can have eternal life with God. Today, my friend, if you're not born again, you've never received Christ as your Savior, today's your opportunity. With nobody looking around, you say, Pastor, would you pray for me? Because I'd really like to know God in a more personal way. Pray for me, Pastor. That's you this morning. Would you just hold your hand high enough that I might be able to see it so I can pray for you? That's all I'm going to ask you to do. You don't have to do anything more than that. Just all over this room, if there's anybody that would say, I need that prayer, preacher, pray for me. Amen. That's awesome. Praise God. Thank you, sir. You can put your hand down there. Anybody else that would say, you know what? With them, I want to raise my hand and say, I want to know more about God. I'd like to have Jesus as my Savior, as my Lord. I'm going to ask our altar ministers to come around the front of the room this afternoon. And simply, I'm going to ask you today that if you've never given your life to Christ and would like to do that, you can do it here in just a moment. Secondly, if you're backslidden or you're cooled off in your relationship with God and you want to get back on track, that's number two. You could recommit your life to Christ. Number three, maybe you need healing in your body and you still need a touch from God, even though we had an anointed service and a great prayer time with the elders. But today you need another touch from heaven for physical touch. Or maybe today you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. Somebody said, you know what, Pastor? When I got saved, I got all of the Holy Spirit. Yes, you did. But you get the dynamic of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is a prayer language that comes from heaven. That's an empowerment and a release of the spiritual gifts in your life. And you don't want to miss all that God has for you. And then finally, maybe God's calling you to join yourself to this fellowship. See, I believe attending church is not your choice. I believe it's God's choice and His leading. And maybe God's leading you today. And you say, you know what? I really feel like I should make a commitment here to this ministry. I've given you five things of which you can respond. Salvation, rededication, healing in your physical body. Maybe today the baptism, Holy Spirit, or finally answering the call to God saying, this is the place that you need to hook up to and be a covenant partner with. And if that's you today, as soon as we dismiss, I want you to come and pray with one of these. I do want to invite you to watch, if you get the local TBN program here. I think you do, don't you? The local TBN program this Friday. We just taped last week. It'll air at 11 a.m. Myself and a couple of the guests from the church, you're going to love it. It was a great show. And then it will show also on Saturday at 11 a.m. And then I think Saturday night or early Sunday morning at 2 a.m. So three opportunities to be able to watch it. And just let us know what you think and how you're ministered to. It would be a real encouragement to me. But we thank God for the opportunity. Well, you live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. And remember, speak well of the Lord. Amen. Hug somebody and tell them, I love you. And ain't nothing you can do about it. Come on, tell them. God bless you on your way out today.